The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, last year, our pastor invited me to preach at confirmation, and it went so well that she asked me to do it again. And it really is an honor for me to do this. You know, my grandmother was confirmed in 1903. Which was the same year as the first airplane flight ever. And my father in 1929, which was the year of the stock market crash. And I myself in 1964, so just 50 years ago, this year, and only about 6 months after President Kennedy had been shot. My daughter was confirmed in 1993 and my son in 1997, so I guess you could say that confirmation is kind of in my bones. One time when I was a pastor in the 1980s, a girl I confirmed fainted during the service, which is why our pastor will do the actual confirmation today. So let us begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just because I said so. Did you ever hear your father or mother say those words to you? There's some smiles there. And if you were to ask them, they would tell you that their parents or teachers had probably had said that to them too. In fact, I think the phrase goes all the way back to the first man and the first woman having to yell at their children, "Just because I said so." Well, let me tell you, it's the best thing that you seven can remember at your confirmation. To understand why it's so important, let's start with what Jesus says in the gospel reading, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which is also often called the Beatitudes or the Blesseds. Jesus makes a list of various people. And if we aren't paying attention, we think they must be good people, but actually, all of the people in this list are in some pretty terrible situations. Just listen. Some are spiritually poor. That is, they have nothing to offer God. And others mourn. That is, they're sad because a loved one has died. And others are meek or merciful or peacemakers. That is to say, they get pushed around a lot for being nice to other people. And some hunger for righteousness. That is, they're not good, but they wish they were. Or they're pure in heart. That is, they don't go along with the crowd. or they're persecuted and made fun of for being Christians. Do you see? All the people in Jesus' list of Beatitudes are people in trouble. A sad group of people. But then maybe sometimes you felt that way too. Is that possible? Ever had doubts about God and felt spiritually empty? Or maybe you felt like you didn't belong here at confirmation? Ever had someone die who was close to you and felt miserable about it? Ever gotten pushed around, even though you were doing the right thing and trying to get other people to do the right thing? Ever thought that maybe if people knew just how empty you were inside, they wouldn't let you get confirmed? They'd really reject you if they knew? Ever not go along with the crowd and get called all kinds of names? Maybe some people even make fun of you for going to church. Well, today, at your confirmation, Jesus calls you blessed, which in the Greek word actually should be translated happy. Happy? Happy? This group of losers? Jesus, how can that be? And Jesus answers, just because I said so. Just because I said so. You are the real happy ones. Why? Because I said so, I promise, Jesus answers. The poor and the persecuted are going to possess heaven. The mourners are going to be comforted. The hungry for righteousness will be filled. Those pushed around will inherit the earth, receive mercy, and be called God's children, not losers. Why? Jesus answers, because I said so. Just because. Now, sometimes when your parents or teachers or other people say that to you, or you say it to someone, it's not really true. They don't really have a reason to say it, and they might just be mad at you and frustrated to no end, and maybe even want to bully you a little bit. I mean, it's possible that somebody can just say, just because I said so. That is, parents and teachers and even pastors and preachers can finally be untrustworthy, see? And that's where Jesus is different. That's where Jesus is different. You see, when God speaks a word, the entire universe bangs into existence. And when Jesus, whom Matthew calls God with us, speaks, says, you're blessed, it's gonna happen, just because he said so. Losers are going to be winners. The weak are going to be strong. The broken are whole. Why? Because I said so. Now, because I said so also has to do with the white robes you're wearing. When the elder in Revelation asks, well, who are those robed in white? He answers his own question and said, these are those who have come out of the great ordeal. Now, you may think that having survived 2 years with our pastor in confirmation was the great ordeal. Well, not really. The robe instead, as I said in the children's sermon, is a sign of your baptism. Of your baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your robes have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Martin Luther, when he talked about the water of baptism, always called it crimson red, even though it looks to our eyes that it's only water and we can see through it, because that's where we get joined to Jesus' death and resurrection. That's what happened in your baptism. Your name and God's name were joined in the water and you became God's child. Now, sometimes it's hard to see what's going on in baptism because we use so little water. Back in Martin Luther's day, they had huge baptismal fonts, and they took the baby and they actually dunked him under the water and then brought him up as a way of showing that in baptism, The old in us drowns and dies, and a new creature of faith comes and rises up to live before God. But it's the same reason that we often dress children in white christening gowns to show that they are the new believing, new creations of God. That's why we do it. So in baptism, we become God's children. And when we ask God why, the answer is the same. Because I said so, you are my child. And that's true about your confirmation now today as well. Today, God is saying to each one of you, you are my child now and forever. You can't get away from it. Why, you may ask? Because I say so. Because I say so, God replies. Don't imagine that your confirmation is something that you do for God. No. Confirmation simply means returning to your baptism and hearing God's say-so in your lives all over again. You see, in the ancient church, each town had a single head pastor called a bishop. And while his assistants could baptize for him, he would always come afterwards and confirm that the person was properly baptized by praying especially for the Holy Spirit in their lives. Well, Ingrid Wengert is our bishop of Moorestown. And she is confirming your baptisms by praying over you for the Holy Spirit. Just don't call her bishop because she'll be hard to live with. But listen once to this prayer. You're going to hear it seven times today. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in your children the gift of the Holy Spirit. Confirm their faith. Guide their lives. Empower them in their serving. Give them patience in suffering and bring them to eternal life. You may ask, how is this possible, God, given that we're filled with doubts and sins and everything else? Well, today at this altar, God replies to each and every one of you, because I say so. Now, sometimes it's true, we kind of wander away from God's because I say so, from baptism. We fall off the ship of baptism, as Martin Luther once said. What then? Well, if that happens to you, look around for the ship, swim to it, and climb aboard again. That is, return to your baptism. The ship doesn't sink, can't sink, won't sink. Why? Because God says so. You return to that ship when you receive Christ's body and blood at the Lord's Supper. And when you pray the Lord's Prayer and ask for forgiveness, or when we receive forgiveness at the beginning of a worship service. But God's say-so lasts even longer. You see, at the end, when you and I close our eyes one final time in death, God will clothe you one last time in white and say to you, you are my child. And then around God's throne, you will worship and you'll not be hungry or thirsty or lost or sad, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be your shepherd and guide you to the water of life and wipe away every tear from your eyes too. Why? Just because God says so. And in the meantime, how about today and tomorrow and the rest of your lives? Well, listen to what Jesus says in the Beatitudes one last time. You who are empty are now filled. You who are weak will be strong. You who are sad will be comforted. And even now you are blessed. Even we can say happy despite all the woes. You belong to God. How do I know? How can I be certain, you may ask? Well, you already know the answer. I've said it enough times. Jesus replies, because I say so. Thanks be to God. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.